Welcome to the Jewish Prayer Podcast, where we uncover the depth, beauty, and relevance of the timeless words of Jewish prayer. Here is your host, Rabbi Yossi Lindenbaum.
Okay, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. We're on our way through the prayers, through the Psukei Dezimra, the songs of praise, and we're right in the meat of it, right in the middle of it. By the way, any questions, comments, just to tell me if you like this, if you're enjoying this series, or if you have any other requests, send me an email, rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. You'll see that in the show notes. So we're up to the part of the five hallelujahs. Okay, so this is, like we said, the meat of the prayers. And that is after last week's Ashrei, very important. We said it's my favorite prayer and what's said all throughout the year. But after that, what's said every single morning is the five hallelujahs. And like we pointed out, these are the last five paragraphs of Tehillim, of Psalms, of David. And they're very, very lofty. You know, even the word just means to praise God. It's like this praising of God. And there are theories, Rabbi Schwab points out how each and every one gets to a higher level in some ways till we get to the final step. What we're going to do is, like the plan was, like we did for Ashrei, is we're just going to try to find a few lines in here and connect to those. A cool part about it, by the way, is that they really connect each one, because the last word and the first one of each one is hallelujah. Just to clarify, I say hallelujah, even though the actual word is hallelujah, because that is the name of Hashem. We say that when we pray and when we study, and therefore I feel comfortable saying that word, but we're just talking about it. We don't want to say Hashem's name directly. And so the way we change the actual name of hallelujah, which means praise God, we say hallelujah. That's a common expression, so we'll usually use that. So anyways, it's the first and last word. It almost connects from one to the next. Boom, boom, boom. So let's see, we're going to see hopefully two today and delve into them. And this first one is very nice, okay? We start off, if I could bring your attention, if you're following along in the prayer book that we're using, that would be on page 71 in the English. Okay, so about one line in, we say, I'm going to praise Hashem, Al tiftechu benedivim beven adam she'en lo teshua, which means, do not rely on nobles, on humans who held no salvation. This is understood that it's referring to the idea of like a messianic era. From the beginning of time, there's always have been people who have promised this utopia, the end of the world, not in a bad way, in a bringing about salvation. So people do that in a spiritual way. People have claimed to be the Mashiach. This happens in, there are Torah stories about this. There's Bar Kokhba later on. There is, well, of course, Christianity and other religions point to it. And they say, oh yeah, we're bringing the end of days and we have the great person and he's going to bring about salvation. But honestly, even in modern times where that's maybe less popular, you'll still have it. Maybe some charlatans, some crooks will claim that. But you will have people in another way where they're saying, okay, not a spiritual end of days, but in other ways we're going to bring about this utopia, like the way Marx did with socialism, communism, and other, other political movements and ideas. And like, hey, if we can just get these ideas passed to law and everybody would just follow the law the way I said, everybody would be wonderful, whether that's social change or financial change. There's always been these promises. So says David, Al tiftechu benedivim, beven adam she'en lo teshua. Don't trust those people. Don't trust people that have no salvation. Why? Teitzei rucho, his spirit will leave. Yashav l'admoso. People are just people. They don't even have that much control to promise that everything is going to be good. When they die, they just go back to the ground. Bayomahu avdu ashenosav. On that day, the day of his death, he'll lose all his plans. So all those mighty plans and great plans, not going to work. So what do we believe in? And this is important because you'll even hear Jews speaking about Mashiach. And Mashiach is a person. That's a whole you know, road to go down. But they'll say there's going to be this guy, and he's going to come, and he's going to be amazing. And some people think they even found him. They have rabbis in their life or rabbis who passed away and say, that was him. That was, says Tehillim, says David every single day in our prayers, don't trust people. People die, and then their plans are over. There's only one person who can, not one being that can bring salvation. Ashrei she'el Yaakov be'ezro. It's only Hashem. Hashem is going to be able to help. The creator of the heaven and the earth, he's going to do, and it goes on to describe everything that he's going to do. He's going to bring bread to the hungry. He's going to matir asurim, untie the bound, open up the eyes of the blind. That kind of refers, that does refer to people who don't see, who atheists, people who don't have a clear view of reality in this world. Hashem will open up their eyes. And then we end off with Yimloch, a very famous verse we say all the time. Yimloch, Hashem le'olam elokayach tzion l'dar v'dar haleluka. Hashem shall rule forever. He is the God of Tzion, Yerushalayim, of Jerusalem, of the Jewish people. For generations to generations praises him. So there's this, this is really a praise, but it's like one theme telling you people are just people, and all we all have ideals of where this world is going. If we have our dream of the state of the world, of where it's headed, and we say we can't really trust people, the only one who can bring about that salvation, that greatness, is Hashem. He's done it before, and he will do it. That is certainly a praise to Hashem. Everything we dream about and we hope for, we turn to Hashem and we say this Haleluka, and we say that's you. So it's interesting, even though this is certainly a praise and a prayer to be able to appreciate Hashem's greatness, there's this nice message along the way. Don't put too much trust in people. A good step in the beginning of your day to remind yourself, whoever you're going to come in contact with, you know, people are limited, even if they mean well, which is not always the case. But even if they do mean well, Bayomahu Abdu Ashinosav, eventually his plans will go into the ground. We place our trust in Hashem. We always have. That is what always was, and that's what we should do. That's Haleluka number one. Let's do one more. This one's even a little bit longer. And I want to bring your attention to two lines in. Yeah, I want to focus on one small line, and then we'll focus on a major theme of this chapter, of this paragraph. And I think about this almost every day. It's a really nice idea. And it says, Harofe lishvur lev, he heals the brokenhearted. And that's something that everyone deals with, you know? Everyone has some sort of brokenheartedness, that they're upset about what should have been, what could have been, even if it's not terribly broken. Our emotions, you know, are strong, and we're always like, wish things could have been better financially, socially, wherever we are in life. I wish things could have been better. But Hashem heals that. How does he heal that? So I think the next sentence tells us how he heals it. Mona mispala kochavim, he counts the stars, lekulam shemus yikra, and he gives them all names. Now that sounds like, what does that have to do? Just talking about different attributes of Hashem. But I think they're very connected. You want to know how he heals the brokenhearted? You want to know how we should be healed if we're brokenhearted? Realize that Hashem counts the stars. How many stars are there? I forgot to look up the number now. But many, 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 many. More than there are people. And yet, each one has a number. It's not like, oh, there's a bunch of stars. Not just a number. L'kulam shemes yikra. To all of them, he has a name. Each star has a name. And if every star has a name, that means it's important. Things that are not important, you don't name your bag of beans. Not every bean has a name. It's just a bag of beans. But when things are important, your children, even if you have a lot, they all have names because they're all important. So Hashem names all his stars, no matter how many there are. Certainly, certainly, every human being, even though we say, oh, does God even hear us? Does he care about us? Does he matter? Do we matter? Yes, we all have a name, and Hashem knows that name. If he knows the name of every star, he certainly knows the name of every human being. And that is Harofei Lishvur Lev. That is healing. That would heal the brokenhearted. I think that's a nice idea. let's keep going. It talks about how grateful we should be to Hashem and all the great things he does. And here it focuses on one thing that he does that's really amazing for Hashem to do, and it plays itself out in a lot of ways. And I guess this is maybe the way to phrase it is, how does Hashem, who is so great — I heard this maybe from an atheist, okay? There was somebody who was speaking once. I don't listen to a lot of atheists speak, but I was once listening to an atheist speak. And he says, you know why he's an atheist? He says, why would, if there's this God who is almighty and all-powerful and sees everything and knows everything, why does he care? I mean, he gave an interesting example, but I'll give a slightly different example. He says, why does he care what kind of food I eat? Why does he care if I mix my milk and my meat? Why does he care what I do with my Shabbos? Why does he care if I make a blessing before I eat? Does he even hear my prayers? If he's so mighty and great, why does it matter to him all these little details? And that's a very good question. It is. If you believe in Hashem that's as powerful as he is, it's the way we would, you know, if a human being is busy with a lot of different details, does he care how his, you know, his dust particles that are sitting on the top of his bookshelf, does he care how those dust particles are arranged? No, those are too small of a detail. Honestly, he probably doesn't even care how his books are arranged. It's just too small a detail for him. Too busy with life. So in a similar way, how could we say that Hashem cares not just about me, but about these little details? Well, the answer I give is, we'll see what this the David gives as an answer, but I'll give you my answer. The answer is, it's a good question, but anyone who prays at all, most people understand that when someone's sick, they turn to Hashem. They understand that Hashem cares whether someone lives or dies, and they hope and they pray that if there's a God, that he'll answer. Well, if Hashem, the relationship between Hashem, which we'll call infinity, and one person's life is so infinitesimally smaller than Hashem that it doesn't make sense that he even cares about that. And if he does care about that, that itself is a miracle, and he might as well care about something even smaller. I'm thinking about this a little bit mathematically. As you hear, when you relate the number infinity to the number, let's say 100. So in fractions, if you do 100 over infinity, that's 0, because 1/100th of infinity is nothing, but so is 1,000 over infinity. And so is 1 over infinity. They're all 0, because in relation to infinity, they're all nothing. That's how I view it with my math background. That's how I compare it to Hashem. If Hashem cares about my life, if he cares about war, if he cares about major famines, then he might as well care about every little detail of my life, what I do, how I do it. It is a little bit of a miracle that he cares about anything, but it's not much of a stretch. Once we believe that he cares about anything, he might as well care about everything. So that is what I would say. But honestly, it is a bit of a miracle. So back to that atheist that I was listening to who was describing how could there be a God. It was funny to me because he was Jewish, of course, and he wasn't much of an atheist because he believes in God. He just has this question. He has this question. He doesn't really have any evidence that he's not there. He just can't. He almost believes him. He's like, yeah, but why do I have to practice religion? That's not exactly what an atheist is, but we'll forgive him. He obviously didn't come to too many of my classes. Let's see what the David's message, what the Tehillim, what this prayer is telling us. If a person is, let's say again, how could Hashem, who's so great, connect to us? And Hashem actually does that as a miracle, and David describes it as the greatest kindness and miracle that he does for us. Let's see if we can find that here. I'm going to jump ahead. He says it in a few lines, but if you turn the page onto page 73, towards the end, he says, Hanosin shele katsamer. He gives snow like wool. Kefar ke'efer yefazer. So he has a couple of metaphors. He frost like ashes. And mashlech karchoi kefitim. He gives ice like crumbs. What does he mean to say? Now, he doesn't mean that wool is white like snow. Okay, it's not a merry little lamb. He's telling you that snow is really very powerful. In fact, right now, where I am in Philadelphia in January 2026, there is snow on the ground for weeks at a time. And if you hadn't shoveled your snow on time, or the parts that weren't shoveled are ice. Now, there's actually a part that I need to clear off in my house because I need to clear off a part that I had cleared off a part from my car. I need to clear off another part. It is very, very difficult. It wasn't hard originally, but the ice got and it got frozen solid, and it's very difficult to work with. You got to take an axe and hack at it. Imagine if ice like that fell from the sky. It would kill people, right? It's too much. It's miraculously, the ice, except in rare, rare cases of hail, snow and water fall like gently. It's really the examples here are snow and frost fall gently. You get hit by a snow, it's fine. It tickles. It doesn't bother you at all. And it creates these mountains and mountains of snow and ice. So Hashem has this ability to bring down to the world greatness gently, like snow. Snow comes down like wool, gently soft, like ashes, like crumbs. The ice comes down. Lifnei karasu miyamud, in front of his cold, who can stand? Meaning if it would come down in its actual form, that wouldn't work. So Hashem has this way of bringing down the snow, the ice, in a gentle way. So the same thing, yishlach dvarim viyamsem, b'yashav ruchu yuzul mayim. He brings down commands, and he melts them. He blows his wind, and the waters flow. Okay, that's how the weather works. Margid dvarim liyakov, and the same thing, he commands us. He gives commands. When we follow the Torah, we're following the word of Hashem himself. And that should be, wow, magnificent, almighty. We should perish just by hearing the word of God. And yet he makes it bite-sized, relatable, able, Dvarav Yaakov, Chuk Mishpatim Yisrael. These are the mitzvos that we have, the commandments that we have, the laws in the book of the Torah that tell us how to live our life, are not just manageable. They should be overwhelming. They should be overwhelming. But Hashem sends it down with mercy, and that mitzvahs are not just not overwhelming, but they are the tricks and the tips to live the best, most meaningful life, to get the most out of life, to make you a grateful, mindful, happy person. That's what the mitzvahs are. And that is the greatness of Hashem. So in this Hallelujah, we're describing Hashem and his might and his amazingness and his loftiness, but his ability to bring that down to us. And that goes for his mercy on us, his feeding us, but also his mitzvos and his words that he gave to us. Really an amazing thought. Again, there's so much more here, but I wanted to bring out something from each. We're going to stop here for today, but just to review, we got through these two Hallelujahs. We brought out a theme from the first Hallelujah about who to trust in. Hashem, obviously, not no one else. And now the kindness of Hashem, that he heals the brokenhearted by noticing each and every one of us. Although he is so mighty, he notices us. And although he's so mighty, he cares about us and allows his abundance of might and kindness to come to us in the most gentle, readily acceptable way. I hope this has been helpful. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.